and honor to God, who's the head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, trustees, everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity to stand before you. Amen. It's been a minute, but praise God, I'm here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I thank God for this. I got my confirmation. You know, God dealt with me. And I got my confirmation when I had to change messages. And when Mother Moore started singing, "I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord," that's when God let me know that the message that I have today is the right message. So she gave me the confirmation through God. Before I get into my message, I want to show you all some pictures. And these pictures that I want you to see, I want you to get them in your mind, because I really don't want to distract you when I'm up preaching, because I don't want you focusing on the pictures while I'm up giving a message. I know a lot of times our focus will be on what's behind instead of what the message is going across. I've seen that done before, where we're so in looking at the pictures where we forget about the message. So I wanted you to see something here, and this is going to go into my message. These are soldiers, amen, and I have a lot of respect for soldiers. This is a soldier that is ready for combat. I mean, there's various gears that they wear and things like that. If you go to the next picture, this is, you know, a Marine. This is what people like to see. They like to see the nice little pretty suits, nice little suits that they wear. That's good. That's great. Man, I may have missed some more pictures, but go to the other ones. These are military people that are in training. Get these in your mind. They're in training. And man, it's called basic training. They're learning. They're getting themselves ready for anything that may come to them. Let's go to the next pictures. Here they are, together, working. Let's go to the next one. Here's another picture where you see it's cold, but yet they still have to adapt to the climate that they're in. So they may have to make a bed right where they are. Amen. That's just what a soldier does. Here you see them helping each other. Amen. They're helping each other. This is what soldiers do. Man, they help each other. So I believe that's all the picture. I think that was the one that I missed. So if you can, you take that down and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I begin at verse 2, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Again, I fell in love with the King James Version. It leaves everything in there. It don't take anything out. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Don't flip too hard, because I promise you, you'll go right past it. Amen. I'm telling you, you'll flip right past James, I'm telling you. And if you don't have it, you can look on the board. If you got your eyewear on, put that on so it'll help you focus in on it. Amen. I'm getting up there. Y'all see the pastor wearing reading glasses now. I never thought that this would come, but this day is coming. You keep living, I guess. Man. I'm like my grandfather. You used to be able to thread a needle and keep going, and now you got to say, okay, where that hole at again? You have to look again for it. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Amen, we there? My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and enter wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of his word. Now, I'm tying this into being a soldier, because one of the things I want you to understand here is that I did some research, and the research that I did on soldiers, because the soldiers endure a lot. They deal with a lot. There's a lot more pictures that I could have put up there, but Lord, to say the same, we'll be able to share some more pictures with you. But in the military, the soldiers, they all have a creed. And if you're not familiar with that, I believe it's a soldier's creed. It's something that they state. It's an oath or saying that provides value and structure by which to live or work by. Creeds, then, they sets the tone of life in each service. So if you join one of the branches, you will have to learn a creed. The soldier's creed is a standard by which all United States Army personnel are expected to live. And one of the things that I read is something that they do during basic training. But one of the things I found was interesting is when I read the soldier's creed, those of you who are in military, you may be familiar with it or you may have forgot, I don't know, but I'm just have the soldier's creed here before me. And it says, the soldier's creed, it says, I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. I would always place the mission first. I would never accept defeat. I would never quit. I would never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior's tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert and I am a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier. Notice how it starts off by saying I'm an American soldier, and it ends by saying I'm an American soldier. It's reminding them, first, I'm an American soldier, and then it says it at the end, I'm an American soldier. One of the things I want to basically talk to you about is that we are told that we will face trials of many kinds. So it is a soldier when they are in basic training. They're being taught and told that they're going to face a lot of things. Okay? So they're equipping them to what is possible that they could face out there on the battlefield. We are told that our faith will be tested. So this morning, what we need to do is endure. Amen? Persevere. That makes us mature and complete. We are never truly defeated until we decide to quit. That's when you're defeated. When you quit, that's when you're done. In the United States, a boot camp is a camp where people who have just joined one of the military branches for basic training. There are many other ranges that you may have heard about, a boot camp or whatever. So you may have heard more than just the term reference to the military about boot camp, but there's also other boot camps that you may have heard of too. Here's the thing that you need to understand about boot camp. They all are designed to create a different you than the you who arrived at the boot camp. Okay? That's the whole purpose of it. One thing you are taught in the military basic training is teamwork. That much I know. Never been there, but I can understand, and I have family and friends that have been there. They teach teamwork, something that you don't really get a lot of when you are in the church. But yet we say we are soldiers in the army of God, but yet we don't work as a team. I find that interesting. Soldiers work together, as you can see here, the pictures. But we say we are soldiers in the army of God, but yet we don't act like soldiers, and nor do we work like soldiers. Amen? So the United States military are trained, they're trained to be a unit, to work together, as you saw in the pictures, hurt together, endure together. You will never quit because it will affect the entire unit. Y'all follow me? It's going to affect the entire unit, so you will never quit. You wouldn't slow down because guess what? It's going to affect the entire unit. If you slow down, they got to slow down. Why? Because you are a unit. They are teaching them to work together as a unit. Amen? The military, they work together to endure, to get through, to succeed. As Christians, we need to learn from this type of commitment as well. A church is dependent on its unit of people. Amen? We need to be one body united for God's work. Period. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that we need to endure. We need to unite. Y'all remember watching the, back in the day when it used to come on TV more regularly, the Peanut comic strip, Charlie Brown? Lucy, watch this, you know, and let me get you to understand this a little bit better. Lucy walks in a room and she demanded Linus to change the channel on the TV. And then she threatens him with her fist. You know, she said, if you don't do it, she told him that she was, you know, she threatened him basically with her fist. Linus said to her, what makes you think you can come in here and demand that I change this channel and then just take over? Lucy said, these five fingers, individually, she said, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Linus said to her, what channel do you want it to be on? Linus then walks away, looks at his hand, and say, how come y'all can't come together like that? Listen to what I'm saying. Lucy's method gives us a powerful illustration of how the Christian body of Christ is designed to work together. Amen? Amen? Individually, we out here, But man, when we form together, we can be a powerful, powerful unit. Amen? A weapon to behold. So that was her method. So I don't know what your reason for coming or attending service, but it's a sad day when people cannot even come to church for the right reason. That's pretty bad. You can't come to church for the right reason. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. Some people don't come to church for the right reason. Some people come to church for the wrong reason. This is what Paul is saying. In other words, the same way you came in is the same way you walk out. You ain't coming to be delivered. You ain't coming to praise God. You coming for a whole nother purpose. Paul is saying coming to church is more than just being a Sunday school teacher. Coming to church is more than just coming to, you know, be a part of, just to be a part of a group, your group that's singing, or to come to church because it's your time to preach, or come to church because it's your time to, you know, dance or pray or whatever the case may be. You come to church, you're coming to church should be more than that. Us coming together should be for the better, but not the worse. Now, I don't know, again, what you come to do, but if you could ever come together like this into a single unit, then only then will we be able to be one body united for God to do God's work. Many believers today prefer to be a single person, you know, basically not really work with a team or unite with the church. Many assignments of God are just too big for one person to do alone. The resources are not for an individual. There are some more pictures that I was going to put up there, but again, I didn't want to put a whole lot of pictures up there. But there's pictures where they were working together as a unit trying to pull an object. Some assignments you're not going to be able to do by yourself. You're going to have to do it with a unit. I don't care how strong you may be. You're not going to pull that vehicle by yourself. You know, I remember when my youngest brother was living, D. He was big. It's bad when your youngest brother is bigger than you, but he was. And I remember Bob had a Jimmy. And, man, it kind of, you know, we was trying to get it position right in the driveway, and we had a little hill, you know, kind of a little steep in the driveway. Michael and I was trying to move it. Man, we was having a hard time. We need another 200 pounds. So this boy, 200 and some pounds come, literally, I was embarrassed, but I was satisfied with moving the vehicle. Younger brother come, grabbed that steering wheel and started pushing. I was like, yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. Like I was really doing something then. I was like, yeah. And I was all swole up but he pretty much added some more strength to what we were trying. What I'm saying is three brothers working together to complete a task. Two of us, we couldn't do it by ourselves. But man, that extra brother that came and helped us push it back into position made us that much better working together. This is the way it is in the body of Christ, people.
Yeah, by yourself, you may be able to do some things, but guess what? If another brother comes along and gives you some help, man, isn't that a blessing? And that was just one example, but there was another example when, you know how when your battery is going out and everything shuts off. You try to turn the AC and everything, man, everything just started going out. So I got stuck in traffic. And next thing you know, man, I'm pushing this vehicle, man, trying to get it out of the way, And all of a sudden, you know, my brother came up from out of nowhere and helped me push this vehicle out of traffic. What I'm saying is by myself, I was struggling. But man, when somebody came along and we started operating together as a unit, boy, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. So, but many believers prefer not to be a part of a church unit or a team. But again, many assignments are too big for one person. Now, in a body of church, there are many diversities of gifts. We all heard that. We know that. But the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. You heard that before. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God, amen, that worked with it all. But see, listen to this. The Trinity is in action. Unity doesn't get any better than this. The Holy Spirit bestows the gifts. Jesus administers the gift. God supplies the power. Working together, three, but they all work together for the same common. So we have the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Yet we have diversities and differences. But watch the Trinity go to work for you. What we see here is a picture of the Trinity taking all of our differences and bringing them out and uniting them in the body of Christ. Let me just say this. How many of you can draw? How many of you can't draw? If you need something drawn on the wall or you need something drawn, you go to an artist. How many of you can play an instrument? Okay. Now, you got some people that can play the instrument, some people that can't. What I'm saying is I can go down the line and pick something that you can't do and pick something that you can do. But guess what? If we bring all of this together, we can form a powerful unit. You understand what I'm saying? Don't get no attitude. You know what? Let me tell you something. I thank God for my brother. I never once got an attitude because he is more skillful and talented than I am. He can draw. He can play a guitar without music in front of him. Did I get jealous of him? I just said, look at what God did. I'm just being literally honest with you. He can sketch something real quick and go on about his business. I'll still be sitting there, need a little bit more light so I can trace this. You know, and then I'm going to tell you something. On our job, we had this for our holiday party. We all had to paint a snowman and all of that. So me, you know, I had to take my time. You know, I don't come over here and fool with me right now. I got to do something. You know, I'm trying to focus because I don't want it to be looking all like a dirty snowman or something like that. So, I mean, I literally had to focus on what I'm doing because this is not something that I'm skillful at. Now, my brother would have been done with it. But I was taking my time. I didn't use a lot of paint because I wanted to dry. I got that much sense. I know we didn't have much time, so I used just a little bit of paint so I know it could dry real quick. Okay? Some people, I saw them just a thick coat of paint. I'm like, gee, look at that. But my point is, never did I get jealous of his skills. Okay? Not one time. Never did he get upset because I was faster than him. Bad when the younger brother gets faster than the older brother. I didn't brag about that. My point is, doesn't make any difference what skills you have. We are the body of Christ, united together. And that is what God wants us to do in the church, be united. He wants to take all of our diversities and all of our differences that we have, all of our differences that we have, and unite them together so that we can be one body. God is trying to do something here. United for God's work. He's trying to do something here. You understand what I'm saying? Let him do what he do. You know, you have some people that are more skillful than others. Some people have more of a discipline type of attitude towards certain things. You know, it's just we have to learn how to work together. Now, it's important to point out that we do not need, listen to this. We don't need to create unity in the church. Now, some of y'all may say, what? We need to stop creating division. That's what we need to do. The Spirit has created unity in the church already. It's not up to us to create it. However, it's up to us to stop interrupting the unity that God has already put in place. Y'all ever seen somebody that's interrupting something that's already done? That's already done. Why are you messing with that? It's finished. Y'all ever know people that do some good work but still go back and mess with it? Why? Why are we messing with something that's finished? Unity will take care of itself. In this country, listen, Christians have become so comfortable that I'm afraid that many of us have either failed to even recognize that we are in a war. I'm not talking about that war over there in Iraq or in one of those countries over there. I'm talking about a spiritual war. Somehow when we get in our air conditioner cars, drive to our air conditioner buildings, homes, we enter into this joyful song of praise, sing a couple of more songs, listen to the pastor preach for about 50 minutes, throw a few dollars in the plate, and then we go somewhere and eat. It doesn't feel so much like a war when you get done with doing all that. That don't feel like a war. You know what I'm saying? Don't feel like much of a fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, if you don't get to it quick enough, it'll be on the board for you. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. As Paul nears the end of this letter, he wants to summarize everything he has written thus far for his readers and draw the letter to a close. So he introduces this last section with the word finally. Finally. Basically, he's calling your attention to one last matter that is the key to applying everything that Paul has written at this point. Trying to get my point over. Finally. Listen, it's kind of like when you're writing a letter. P.S. You want to say one last thing. Paul is communicating to the church. He has given them a very clear picture of what God has done in their lives. And man, sometimes we need to be reminded. In light of what God has done for them, Paul wants to remind the church and us is that just because we know the truth about the resurrection and the power it makes available in our lives, we still can't take things for granted. Amen? Just because we understand the principles about how to conduct our lives doesn't guarantee that we'll be able to apply them effectively. The power is there and the principles are there, but there is also one thing we need to be aware of. The enemy is still there also, and he will do everything he can to thwart God's plan in your life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So in other words, whether we recognize it or not, we are at war. And therefore, we need to make sure that we are prepared for the battles that we are going to face each day. The moment that we committed our lives to Jesus Christ, we enlisted ourselves as soldiers in that war. When that person signed up for the military, granted, they may get a good education, may get a good job, but they also know that if a war breaks out, that they too have to go and fight that war. Amen? That's just what they signed up for. You have to remember what you signed up for. The pictures that I had up there that you were looking at, they were training. They were training themselves in the event that they get called to go to war, that they will be ready. So we better be prepared to fight those battles by making sure that we complete our spiritual basic training. Right. We need to understand that when we come to church, Bible study is basic training. It is for you to know what the devil is saying about you and what God is saying about you. It also, you know, it hurts me that when I speak to coworkers, they don't have a clue of what the Bible says. They're asking me, is that in the Bible? I'm saying, yes, it is. And they're like, well, what does it mean? But what is it? I'm like this, do you even read your Bible? And no, they do not. They have no clue. This is not something that I'm just making up while I'm standing here talking to you. They have been taught not to read the Bible. They have no understanding of what it is that they are going through and what it is that is happening to them. To tell them that there is a spiritual warfare, they're looking at you like, what? A what? A who? What is that? When they think of war, they think of what we're fighting over there in them other countries. That's what they think of. When they say war, that's what they're thinking of. They don't think of a spiritual war that could be on you. People don't think about that, a curse that could be put on you. We don't think about that stuff. We don't think about that somebody could be doing something to you spiritually. Your ignorance don't stop it from being real. I'm sorry. I just have to say it like it is. There's things that you may be ignorant to, but it don't stop it. One of the most important aspects of this war is that God doesn't expect you to fight it alone. He has brought us all together in one body, the church, so that we can stand shoulder to shoulder and encourage and help each other as we fight. I think one of the mistakes that many people have made over the years is that they approach this section on spiritual warfare as merely an individual battle. The United States would never send one man to fight a war by himself. I've never seen the United States go on TV and say, we are deploying one active soldier to fight the war against ISIS. And this is what we're going to do. Are you kidding me? If the United States won't send one person, you better believe that God is not going to send one person. God never sends just one of his children to fight a spiritual war. He joins us together with the rest of his body. So in other words, if the devil's coming at me, he's going to have to come after God and everybody else that is in God's army. Y'all better believe that. And you better keep saying that to yourself, because the devil ain't going to tell you that. Have you ever noticed, you know, I mean, let me show you something that you may be more familiar with. You ever notice when a police pull somebody over or a police is talking to somebody, there's always another cop that pulls up? Y'all ever notice that? You want to know why? That's letting that person know, I got bag up. I'm not fighting this crime by myself. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not fighting this by myself. So you need to understand this, that when you are in a fight, know that there is more with you than it is you getting ready to fight against. That's why they said open up their eyes so they can see what you're working with. But see, here's the thing. It is up to each one of us here to go through training. You follow what I'm saying? It's up to each one of us to go through training in order to prepare you for the battle that you are about to go through. And then we must do the job to the best of our ability when the battle begins. And even when we are trained as soldiers, we decide, we need to understand that we can't get comfortable. Because at any moment, at any time, you may have to fight. You may have to get up. Sometimes you say you sleep with your clothes on. You may have to get up. You ain't got, I don't mean no disrespect. You ain't got time to shower. I've never been in the military, but I want to know how many days they went without showering. Because there's probably some times that you, hey, I may not smell good, but I'm ready for war. Maybe you won't get close to me. That is the skunk's defense, I'm going to tell you that. So how do we prepare for battle, Pastor? Be strengthened by God. Be strong in the Lord and in his might. Most of us have at least some familiarity with the whole concept of the Christian armor. But I'm convinced that the reason that the armor is often not effective as it could be is because we ignore this critical first step. And that first step is, before a soldier's ever trained in handling weapons, he must first go through a great deal of intense physical training in order to build up his strength. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I mean, you ain't gonna go, don't think that you're gonna go out there and be able to carry that backpack up that mountain and you ain't done no exercise down here below the mountain. That ain't gonna happen. I guarantee you, you'll pass out. Yeah. What I'm saying is that before you can carry all of that stuff, you need to go through this basic training first to condition yourself in order to get to where you can carry that. Let me break it down to you this way. When somebody quotes the scriptures at me, I'm going to tell you, I got God in me and the word in me. I don't know if you're saying it right because I'm familiar with God's word. So if you're going to say it to me, say it right. And also remember this, it's a double-edged sword. So if you're going to cut me with it, it's going to cut you too. I know how to use the weapon. See, some people don't know how to use the weapon because it's cutting them too. Some people are walking around bleeding and don't even know till they pass out and don't know what happened to them. That's because you cut yourself with their own word. You understand what I'm saying? You sitting there thinking it's getting me. It got you too. That's the way God's word works. It's a double-edged sword. It wouldn't do much good to equip that soldier with all the latest weapons if he isn't strong enough to use it. Why equip you? You know, you got to understand God's word. You got to know God's word. Because I'm going to tell you, the things that are happening out here in the world is going against God's word. Yes. Let me tell you something. The spiritual armor, if we are not first strengthened enough to use it properly, it won't make much of a use to us because we're not strengthened with it. You know, when I first started off as a Christian, there were things that I didn't understand. There were things that I couldn't come back at people with. Like, for example, this lady, I remember her saying this to me when I was working down at St. Mary's. I was in X-ray. She was all upset with God, saying, God kills, God kills, God kills. So all she kept saying, God took my so-and-so. God took the, God did that. I was like, man, that's harsh. But I didn't know how to come back at her. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You want to know why I know how to come back at her? I didn't know God's word. Honestly, I didn't know what to say. Yeah, my family was saved, but that didn't do anything for me. I'm sorry. That didn't do anything for me. Now, if they was there, they probably could have addressed it, but me being new in Christ, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what to say to her. The best thing I could have did was just keep my mouth shut. I'll be honest with you. That was the best thing I could do, was keep my mouth shut. I ain't gonna sit up there and get in no argument with her. But as I learned that the scripture says that God comes that you might have life. Life more abundantly. I never saw anywhere where it says that God will kill you. You understand what I'm saying? But that was her mind. She had that made up. So here's what we need to do. We need to be strengthened in the Lord. In other words, I can't strengthen myself. God has to do that for me. We also see clearly that it is God's mighty power and not ours. So we have to be strengthened in God. God has to do the strengthening. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, when you're going through, read your word. Understand God's word. The power is like the working of the mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We have power. Many of us don't know how to tap into the power. That's what I see what's going on. It's not that God doesn't can't do anything. We limited God from doing it. By not believing and not exercising our faith. Yes. Amen? That's where I believe that we fail at. It's not that God failed, we fail. Right. In Ephesians chapter 3 and 16, I'm just going to basically say, Jesus strengthened us within resurrection power as we allow him to dwell in our hearts through faith. In other words, as I allow Jesus to take up residency and control every area of my life, he will supply my life with his power. So in other words, I have to allow him to come in. If I don't allow Jesus to come in and take a residency, then I can expect for anything good to come out of it. We have to first allow the Lord to come into our lives. A soldier is constantly training for battle, even though he doesn't know when he will be deployed. He has to continually participate in physical condition and practice with his weapons so that he will be ready to go into battle whenever he is called. You don't know when you're going to get called for any particular task. You don't know what's getting ready to happen. All you need to do is continue to study God's word and stay focused on God, and I guarantee you when the test comes, you will pass it. But if you are focused on trying to get the pastor told and say that the pastor didn't say this, or the pastor didn't mention this, or the pastor this and that, then you're going to fail your test. Yes. Why? Because your focus is on the pastor when it should be on the Lord. Amen? Amen? Because if your focus is on the Lord, then you won't even be worrying about what the pastor did or didn't say. Let God get me. So, in other words, here's one thing we need to do. Understand the enemy so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Never played football, but I was in sports. I know this much, that when a team is getting ready to face another team, they go through what is called strategy. In other words, that other team is now their enemy. Their object is to defeat that team. So what do? So you have to basically know your enemy. Know what your enemy is capable of doing. If you know, if in football terms, if you know that this team runs a wing back option, you know you're going to need to put your best men when they run that wing back option, okay? If this team is a passing team, you know how you're going to have to defend against the pass. If they are a running team, you're going to have to defend against the run. If this team is whatever sports it may be, amen? If this person has a favorite spot on the court, put somebody over there. So when they go to that spot, it'll make them uncomfortable that they can't hit no place else on the court. Amen? You need to put somebody there. So you have to understand your enemy. This is what we come to Bible study for. This is what we come to church for. This is why the military come together to strategize against the enemy. When they went into Iraq the first time to take down Saddam Hussein, they tore him up. They lit him up. You want to know why they lit him up? They lit him up because those military generals knew the strategy and they knew how to defeat him. Why? Because they studied their enemy. That's how you defeat him. God knows our enemy. He already had a confrontation with him when he came, before he even came here. Okay, but when he came here to earth, him and Satan were head to head. So God said basically to him, every time he threw the word at God, God basically said to him, it is written. No, in other words, Satan, you ain't finna come to me with no foolishness. I ain't finna hear that, because what you saying right now don't make no sense. That ain't what my daddy said. Matter of fact, my nickname is the Word, and I know that the Word does not even say that. They call me the Word. That ain't what the Word says. So don't come to me with no foolishness. So you better know what you know. But how do we know that? Because he knows the Word. So Satan will come and say something to you. You know so-and-so over there talking about you. Look at them over there whispering. They ain't talking about you. They talking about how they going to fix the parking lot. But you think they talking about you. Ain't nobody talking about you. Boy, how we get our minds. Those, you know what? People who are like that lets me know that you are not engaged. Because when you start talking like that, oh, you ain't engaged in battle. I can't deal with you right now. I need somebody that's battle-minded. Somebody that knows what I'm going through. Somebody who can talk to me. Somebody who can tell me how to get a praise on when I'm down. I don't need nobody to come to me and say that this person is talking about me. I don't care. I'm engaged in battle right now. Y'all ever seen soldiers on the battlefield? Hey man, so-and-so back there talking about you. But they trying to take down this enemy. How much sense do that make? I mean, I'm telling you, man, he talking about you. You better go back there and do something. No, my focus is this one. Listen, even though the enemy is not flesh and blood, he is real. He is real. I bet you Job can tell you. I bet you Peter can tell you. I bet you Jesus can tell you. I bet you David can tell you. I bet you all the prophets can tell you. The devil is powerful. There is a spiritual battle we need to engage in. And it's not fought with long distance. It's face to face. Y'all better believe me. How many of y'all fought somebody from a long distance? No, y'all know, let's go old school now. Old school, you get up in the grill and you like, what's up, man? You get up, that's how you fight. You get up and you be like this. I remember my wife was telling me Jeremiah was on the playground and he got up in somebody's grill and he was like that. That's how you get down. You get up in the face. You like, what's up? You know, you ain't know somebody to put, back in the day, you used to put a stick on your shoulder. And you say, the first person knocked the stick off. Or you draw a line. Whichever one, you crossed over and you got it on. Here's the thing. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, we make the mistake in underestimating the power of the enemy. We picture the enemy like some of these mascots that we see with these teams. Don't get that twisted. That's not how the devil looked. Amen? Y'all understand? You know, you see the... I ain't trying to talk about nobody, but, you know, I ain't cheering for no team that's got the devil, you know, as their mascot. I just can't do that, okay? So that's why I never would cheer for Duke. I can't cheer for that because they the Duke Blue Devils. I don't cheer for anything that's got a devil attached to it. You know, and anything that's got a devil mascot, I don't care if my favorite color is red. I ain't cheering for you. And then I ain't cheering for nobody in no tights either. Okay? Let's just be real. Now, I ain't finna cheer for that team. You know, if the Cardinals would have changed their name to the St. Louis Devils, they just lost a fan. Because I'm not cheering for no St. Louis Devils. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, if they changed their name to St. Louis Angels, hey, I'm still cool. They still got a fan. But I'm just being real with y'all. I don't cheer for anything that's got a devil attached to it. But you better believe that the pictures that they're showing you is not the devil. He is a powerful being. He can come in any form. He's using these leaders. I'm telling you. I ain't trying to call nobody devil, but I'm just saying if it's a duck and it's quacking, it's a duck. Well, I should say in this case, if it's a devil and it's going against God's word, it's a devil. I'm just saying, if you ain't abiding by God's laws, and if you are going against God's laws, I ain't calling you no devil, but you must be one. Must be one of his little imps. It's dangerous to underestimate our enemies. We can also be guilty of overestimating him's power as well. The devil is not all powerful. He is not God. He is not omnipresent. He's not that. You know, he is not omniscient. He's not that. He's not omnipotent. He's not that either. He is none of those things. Why? Because he is not that powerful. Him, the devil being that makes him equal to God. And he is not. He is not equal to God. Okay? He's a powerful being, but he's not equal to God. So how do the devil then get us? It works through deceit. Okay? We need to be ready to stand firm against the devil's schemes. That's how he gets us, through deceit. That's how he did the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. His deceitful schemes. That's why you got to know the word. Because he'll come to you and he'll say half of the word, but he won't say all of the word. That's why I use the King James Version, because it gives me all of the word and it doesn't take some of the words out. Right. That's just me. Yeah. So Satan uses these schemes. So Satan uses the structure of this world system to exert his evil influences against the followers of Jesus. Yes. Understand what I'm saying. Laws are being passed now to accommodate people's sinful lifestyle. That's what Satan is doing. You understand how he's doing this? People are getting into office who cares nothing about God and are passing laws that's against what God says and could care less about God. If y'all don't think God is going to judge America with the laws that they're passing and the things that they're doing, you got another thing coming. When Israel sinned against God, what did God do to them? He withdrew his hand and said, I'm going to let y'all get spanked. And when they got spanked, and when they repented, God came back to them and said, now, let's start over. My commandments are my commandments. My word is my word. I'm not going to change it. You're not going to do anything to me to make me change it. So therefore, you need to get on board with me. Otherwise, you do this again, I'ma bag up again and let them spank you again. But if you keep my word, I promise you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I promise you that. That's what God has said. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I dare them to lift up anything against you and watch me come in and move by my power. Amen. On your behalf. Because I'm going to protect my investment. See, our battle is spiritual, not physical. See, the first thing a man wants to do is fight. Physically. Where he at? This spiritual, bruh. I need you to pray with me. Ain't nobody here to fight. Not physically. So I don't need that. I need you to get in the word with me, brother. And I need you to pray with me. Let's stand and agree together. Let's walk together. Let's unite together. Remember what Lucy said about the fingers. Y'all don't take nothing else. And remember what Lucy said. When they come together, they form a mighty unit. Yes. The word stand does not mean to just casually stand around. It means dig in. Right. You understand what I'm saying? I mean dig in. Get yourself anchored. The scripture, you know, I haven't found scripture yet. Maybe you all have, but I haven't found scripture that tells us to go out and find the devil and start attacking him. I haven't found that scripture yet. But y'all let me know when you find that. But I do find a scripture that says stand. And it says stand ye therefore. And when you've done all that you have done, stand. You understand what I'm saying? Stand. I don't ever see where it says go out there and look for him. So if somebody come and tell you they're looking for the devil, let them look by themselves. One of the things we need to do is be engaged in battle. David was a man after God's own heart, but the two greatest sins in the life of David occurred when he failed to go to war. All right. He wasn't engaged. All right. Everybody remember this very popular verse when, you know, about David when he was on the balcony or whatever and looking at Bathsheba. We all know about that. See, David wasn't even supposed to be there. He's supposed to be out fighting a battle. Had he been out there on the battlefield, that would have never happened. But because he wasn't engaged, because he was talking about folks, because he was doing all other stuff that God did not tell him to do, he ended up getting into some trouble that he ended up messing up. But had he been out there on the battlefield, he would have been blessed. If God sends you on the battlefield, that is the best place for you to be. You think you comfortable in your living room? You think you comfortable in your own home? No, you can still sin there.
That's right.
All right. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Two times we read that David stayed in Jerusalem at the time when kings go to war. Get in position. This is what I'm talking about. If you're engaged in battle, you won't be keeping a mess in church.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're too busy fighting. I'm sitting there, imagine, I'm fighting somebody and you want to tell me about something. I may hit you too. I ain't got time for that. Lord, help us today. The devil is trying to discourage and dictate and derail and destroy our lives. That's what he's trying to do. His mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care who you are, where you come from. He doesn't care where you've been or where you hope to be going. His motive is to disrupt and dismantle and any and all associates that you may have with God. That's it. Just like he did with Job, the devil is confronting God about you as well. His intent is to make you a lie. I can imagine him calling my name before God. He's saying, Ronnie is not what he says he is. And he is not as faithful as you think he is. You got the hedge around him. Take it away from him. I make him curse you before your face. Now, just as well as I said that, he brings up your name as well. I bet you I can get Minister O'Bannon to curse your name. I bet you I can get them deacons over there to curse your name. I bet you I can get the mothers to stir up some confusion in the church against you. I guarantee you, the Satan is putting your name before God. In other words, what I'm saying is, don't let the devil use you. Don't let him use you. He's bringing your name up before the, some of y'all are signing up too. Y'all co-signing that. You just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get this person. I'm gonna do this. Y'all co-signing this mess. All right. But you wanna deny it? I tell you this, when your name is brought before the Lord and the devil's trying to get you to do something you ain't supposed to be doing, turn the other cheek and walk in a different direction. And watch how God bless you.
That's right.
God is the same today as he is yesterday and tomorrow. He won't change. You ain't going to change God. So I can imagine in my sanctified mind, the Lord is saying to Satan, go ahead and test them. Go ahead. Try them. But their souls belong to me. So we must know today that in order for us to continue in this fight, in order for us to stay strong while we are on this battlefield, we must keep our faith and our trust in the one who is able to give us strength, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to give him the glory, the honor. We can't do this by ourselves.
All right.
We need to operate as a unit.
Amen.
Together. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If your brother or sister is in trouble, we need to come to their aid. Have y'all ever seen a soldier shoot another soldier? I'm talking about, you know, well, man, shoot. Man, I ain't finna carry you. Okay, well, let's just finish you off. I said, what the devil? Y'all ever see anything like that? Man, hold on, I ain't got time. He's trained to carry equipment and help their fellow soldiers. Did y'all see the picture when they were locked arm in arm? Man, that's how we should leave out of here today. Locked arm in arm with each other, helping each other on this battlefield, letting them know that I know you're wounded today. I know you're hurting today, but guess what? We're gonna walk out of here together. I had a friend, man, I wish he was here today. He's pastoring now down in Sparta. We were in grade school together, and I remember he broke his foot. He'll tell his testimony. Man, he broke his foot, and he didn't have nobody to help him go home. His name is Thomas Goodwin. He had nobody to help him. He was limping, going home, and I grabbed him by his shoulder. And, man, we went to his house. He was limping, but I said, I got you, man. That's the way we ought to be. Locked up, arm in arm. I didn't realize he was hurting until I saw him. When I saw he was hurting, I went over to him and I grabbed him and I said, I got you, man. And he said, thank you. And to this day, he still reminds me of that story. I done forgot all about it, but he never did. God help us. When we're on this battlefield, man, we ought to be working together. We shouldn't be causing confusion. Unity is already here. Stop interrupting the unity that's already here. God put this in place before the foundation.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Ooh. I ain't want to preach today. I just want to get up and say a few words and we can go home. But y'all done started something. I come to tell you that we serve an awesome God, a God that would never change, a God that was still there when you was acting up, a God that has never lost power, never lost an ounce.
Yes.
never lost anything. He's still the same today than he was yesterday. God is still on the throne. Let me tell you something. You can't impeach him. You can't check him. You can't pull him down. You can't do anything. He is still there with all power. He's our commander in chief. It ain't nobody in the White House. I'm not serving that commander in chief. My commander in chief is in heaven. Because I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with everybody. We are soldiers in God's army. When somebody hurt, we should hurt. When somebody go through something, we should go through it too. We should be able to go and get our fellow brothers or sisters and bring them back into the household of faith. Come on now. You say you a soldier? I just told you what a soldier is. A soldier don't kill their own wounded. A soldier don't quit. A soldier will continue to fight the battle. They don't surrender. They don't give up. We got a common enemy, and that is the devil. Used to be named Lucifer, but now they call him the devil. You better know who he is. It ain't your boss. It ain't your husband. It ain't your wife. It ain't your sister. It ain't your brother. It is the devil. That's who your enemy is. So I come to tell you, stop looking at your brothers and sisters as if we are the devil. We ain't the devil. We are God's children, fighting for the same cause, fighting on the same battlefield. If you look good, you will see that I'm on your side. So what I'm saying is put on the whole armor of God. Put on your combat gear. Get ready for fight. Get ready to engage. Get ready for the enemy. You never know when you may be called to be deployed. They got people on standby right now just in case they need a few extras. Amen. Like I told you about the police officers, when they pull somebody over, they got backup. I want to know if I have some backup. I want to know if I got somebody who was on call with me. I want to know, you know, they hear the same call and they call that police officer and they say, I'm en route. I'm coming to you. I'll be right behind you. I wonder if somebody's got my back today. We should be on the same channel listening to God. When you hear something coming at me, you should be able to dial up and you should be able to say, oh, that's Pastor Ronnie. I'm getting ready to go to wherever he is and I'm getting ready to help him out. I got your back. And you know, police officers, this is what they say when they get there. They say, I'm providing backup. I need y'all to say, hey, I'm just here. I'm providing backup for you. Just in case. I may stumble, I may fall. You can say, hey, whoa, I got you. I got you, Pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need nobody that's gonna come and shoot me. You may get shot too. The Bible says, touch not my anointing, do my prophet no harm. You better get permission like they did with Jonah. They said, hold up now. Hold up now. We got to get permission before we do something with this. That's because the Bible says, touch not my anointing, do my prophet no harm. You play with God's anointing, watch what happens to you. That's why things are happening to folks today. You messing around with God's anointed. You let him deal with that. Let me get him. I have to tell my children. Let me do the parenting. Let me get Jeremiah. Let me get Sabrina. Don't you try to do it. Amen. Touch not my child. Do my child no harm. I'll do it. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
more clear to you. Siblings acting up, they want to take it in their own hands and get the squabbling. I did that before. I told my mom, she in there bothering me. My mom didn't move fast enough. This is a true story. I said, never mind. I said, I'll take care of it myself. I went in on her. I let her have it. That's what siblings do. But she did tell me that she was going to take care of it, but she didn't move fast enough. So I said, I got this one. So I went in on her, and I did everything I could. I bit her. She was bigger than me. She could toss me. But I bit her, and I bit her real good. And my mother can tell you the story. She had to pull me off of me. I was still kicking. Y'all think I'm playing with you. That's a true story. When I want something done, I want it done. Amen. Y'all let me get away from this mic. Why tell them some more stuff? Officers.
Amen. The Lord's Supper, and this is what it talks about. What is communion? Defined as fellowship. So each time we participate in communion, it is fellowshipping with Christ and other believers. The fellowship is to bring to your memory the sacrifice, the love, and the benefits of the cross and resurrection of Christ. Communion is to stir you to draw close to Christ. The bread represents the body of Christ, our healing, the unity of believers within the church. The wine represents the blood of Jesus, the remission of our sins. Remission means to be released or set free. The fellowship communion is remembering what Jesus did for you, for us. Let us pray. Father, we ask your blessings upon this, the bread which represents your body. We ask also that you bless the cup which represents your shed blood on Calvary's cross. We ask now, God, that you bless these, your people who are about to partake of the Lord's Supper, as we remember what you did for us, which represents your death, burial, and resurrection. And it doesn't end in the grave. It is all inclusive until you return again. And so we thank you for what you've done for us, and we give your name the glory, the honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.